Well, good morning. It's a beautiful morning, which we're really thankful for. We've had a lot of cloudy, rainy weather, and so it's a nice break this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. God, our Father, thank you so much for the blessing of this morning. Thank you for the beautiful day, that your mercies are new every day. Thank you for coming to earth through the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh and speaking to us. Thank you for your word, your life, and your call to each of us. Help us as we look into your word this morning to come to a greater understanding of you and a greater knowledge of you and of your desire for our lives. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Today will be the last message in our preaching through the Gospel of John. And so I will read John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had been reclining at table close to him and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not going to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So we see here at the beginning of this passage, Jesus had, the disciples had gone fishing, and they saw this person on the shore, and he asked them if they caught any fish. They said, no, we fished, basically they had fished all night and hadn't caught anything. He said, throw your net on the other side. And this person on the shore, he had a little charcoal fire going, and said, throw your nets on the other side. Well, they did, and as soon as they did, they caught a big catch of fish. And right away, I'm assuming based on previous experience, they said kind of under their breath to each other, I can imagine, it's the Lord, it's Jesus. And so he asked them to bring them some of the fish, and he cooked breakfast for them and served them. After breakfast, then, is when this conversation between Jesus and Peter took place. And just a brief look at the Greek words used there for love and so on. Basically, the conversation went like this. And we understand that when I say agape love, it's like a self-sacrificing, it's the truest of loves. A phileo love is like a bond, an affection, a brotherly love where it involves emotion and feeling. So the conversation went basically like this. Simon, son of John, do you agape me? And Peter responded, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Jesus said, Simon, son of John, the second time he said, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? Peter responded with, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. Jesus said, tend my sheep. Jesus said the third time, Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? Then he was cut to the heart. And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I phileo you. So we see that Jesus was by design, and his choice of words, he was by design really making a point of getting to Peter, of communicating deeper than with just words, but communicating to the heart. It also probably had something to do with the fact that Jesus had told Peter that he would deny him three times, and then he asked the same question the third time. But I'm going to go on. And in the responses that Jesus had given, first it was, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and then feed my sheep. The word used for feed has the idea of nourishment. Nourishing, providing the food. Think of moms. Think of feeding your infants, feeding your little ones, providing the sustenance, the nourishment that they need. And then tend my sheep. That has the sense of governing, caring for, guiding, and protecting. In other words, caring for people. I'm thinking of Sharon. She's being cared for, well, supposedly, by you and by the people that are responsible to care for her, where we care for each other. And then finally, feed my sheep. Where that again is the same word as used in feeding the lambs. Now I want to talk, as far as love, I want to talk about three stages of love. First, there's the emotional dimension. Think about people close to you that you love. Larry, can you remember when you started loving your children? Or Yolanda, can you remember when you started loving Dad and Mom? It's emotional. It's something we all experience. But it doesn't involve the intellect, and it doesn't even involve the will. It's just an emotional action and reaction that we all experience. That's the most superficial, the most basic. Then there's the intellectual dimension. A happily married man might say about his relationship with his wife, he might say, when I first met you, I was overcome with an emotional attraction for you. But now, in addition, I can say that with calm judgment, I know that you were the right choice. I am more happy than ever with my choice. Now you're incorporating an intellectual dimension where, yeah, I was initially attracted to you emotionally and so on. But we've lived a lot of life. And now intellectually, I know that I love you more than I ever, than any emotional dimension. Finally, it is an act, a love is an act of the will. And that is where I think the agape dimension of love would come into play. It is the part of our nature out of which resolutions and actions come. Love's real trial comes when it is called to sacrifice and endure. Just last night I called Tom to remind, make sure he found out that we were meeting here this morning. And we talked a little bit about Sharon. And he said he's going to be going and taking care, going visiting Sharon this right after church today. And I said, well, you go do that. And he said, I'll do that until she dies. And you've sacrificed a lot. You've endured a lot. That's an act of your will, a decision that you made. That is the ultimate kind of love, where it involves the emotions and it involves the intellect, but it also becomes something that we're willing to suffer and sacrifice for. Jesus followed up with saying, follow me. That call is a very personal call. Now, in context, this was Jesus, for this part, I'll begin with, I want to go back to John chapter 1, the very first portion of this gospel where we began. I want to read the first five verses and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. It was interesting for me to reflect on throughout the Gospel of John in a big picture scope. Jesus is introduced as the Word. What are words? Words are the vehicle of communication. in Genesis account of the creation, God said, and there was. What we see, all of us, we began with an idea in God's mind, a concept which He spoke, and we became. The earth became. It's interesting to reflect on the dynamic that more primary than your flesh and blood, Larry, more primary than our physical being is a concept or a spirit? Because then it says that the Word, talking about Jesus, and we understand that He was, before He became flesh, He was with God. But somehow it's just interesting to think about how that He became flesh. And in a sense, before we became flesh, we were an idea. We were something that God spoke into existence. He determined that we would be. But now, talking about that Word and how that words are the vehicle of communication. So you see that at the beginning in the introduction of Jesus. And then at the very end, the last portion of the gospel, you see Jesus engaging Peter with words in a conversation that communicated to him a life call, a message. Sandwiched in between the first portion of Scripture and the last portion of Scripture in the Gospel of John are the stories, story after story, and teaching after teaching that reveal the nature of Jesus and His kingdom. It just tells us about Him, who He is, what His desires are, what He loves, what He wants. All of those things are sandwiched in between there. His instruction to Peter, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. In the context of thinking about life call, I remember just this past week working with Colin. He asked me, he said, Dave, if you know you have the option of doing this or this, how do you know what you're supposed to do? I probed a little bit and he was like, well, it involved, he didn't get specific, but it involved having to do with how you would spend, I presumed, a year or two of your life. I thought about it a little while, and I responded to him. I said, I think a common mistake that we all make, I know I did, was that we have way too small an opinion of God and way too big an opinion of the consequences of our choices. And I went on to say that basically what I tried to communicate to him is that if we want to please God, if we want to please Jesus, if we want to do what is right, if we want to honor Him and magnify Him, said, and this is not exactly the phrase that I used to him, but think of it as, okay, so we're building a building. a lot of us in construction, we could. And so you come to the site and you have some construction abilities. So you do what you can to help build the building. You fall in where you can. Some of us might be more comfortable with framing. Some of us might be more comfortable with finish work. Some of us might be more comfortable with carrying materials. But you fall in where you can. And, you know, the boss will say, okay, I see you could be better use doing this. As you're helping, as you're going, you will be directed. God will do that for us. It doesn't all hinge all that much on us making the perfect choice, the perfect decision. And what I want to say here is that in the context of life call, Peter's instruction from Jesus was, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. It seems rather general and unspecific. But what was the primary prerequisite of the call? It was, do you love me? Do you love me? When I was a teenager, I loved sports. And I loved the Cleveland Indians. Today, I have no idea what they're doing. And I could care less. I couldn't care less. But back then, I loved them. And almost a little embarrassing to say it, but up by our barn, at the top of our barn, there was like a nice level area, and then it went out, and there was a gently sloping hill up to a horizon point with a fence. And I would go out there. Maybe we broke a shovel handle or whatever. So I'd take the broken shovel handle and I'd pick up stones and I'd hit them. And I played ball games, inning after inning, hitting stones. I knew all the players. I knew the lineup. I knew which one should hit a single and which one should hit a double, and then I'd load the bases and I'd hit a grand slam. How did I know what to do? Well, every day I knew exactly what time the paper came. This was before radio. And I made a point to try to be in my routine of duties, to try to be close to where I could grab the paper right when it came. And there was one section that mattered to me, and that was only one, and that was the sports section. The point I'm making is that, and by reading the sports every day, I knew the team, I knew the players, I knew what each one, you know, what you expected from each one and so on. And that was what guided me in playing this game. And so, by analogy, by reading between the first chapter and the last chapter is how you get to know Jesus and his kingdom. And so oftentimes we want the instructions, the life call instructions and so on, to be specific. I think Jesus is more pleased by our quest to learn to know him than he is by actually our production. He just delights that we seek him, that we know him. I want to close I want to close by reading a part of 2 Peter chapter 1. So if you think about Peter's call, the instructions that he was given, and so on, and I'm going to just slowly read this, the first 15 verses, and then I'll be finished. But think about the words that Peter, on his own volition, by what he had learned in his interaction with Jesus, by what he put together in his own comprehension and understanding, what he wrote. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And now, if you have your Bibles, follow along as I read. Verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these things are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things. Interesting there in verse 14, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. It's probably thinking back to that account in John 21 when Jesus explained to him the nature of what his death would be. And so, yeah, God has a specific call. Jesus has a specific call to each of us. And what he delights in most is that we love him and use our own volition to see how we can serve him with the abilities that he has given us. God bless you.